Good morning and a very warm welcome to you all and also those joining us online. Doesn't the sun and the bright sky make a little bit of a difference when you get up in the morning? It's just beautiful, isn't it, to enjoy God's creation. A particular thank you to Kathleen who's stepped in at the last minute. Keith and Lois was going to be leading worship today, but Keith has tested positive. So Keith, if you're joining us, get better. And if anybody else out there is not well, we particularly think of Jackie. I think Jackie has gone negative today. Hooray. So anybody else who's in our community, we just declare healing upon you wherever you are. Now, today we're continuing our series in Living the Way of Jesus, and Dave is going to be coming and teaching on Welcome to the War, which perhaps rather apt in our times. So, a number of other notices just before we get going, he says, clicking. I'm suddenly not clicking.
I'll keep talking.
Notices are going to come in. There's a lot. Let me talk about them. Just a reminder, we've got the Fisherman's Tale that is coming. That's on the 2nd of April. Two performances, tickets at the back. An opportunity to hear the gospel afresh and also to bring those who haven't yet known the good news of Jesus Christ. So do consider that. I'm going to continue to click. No, I'll carry on talking. If you haven't heard, you might want to come and join us for lunch next Sunday. I'll be here, but I'll leave the rest up to you whether you want to join us. But if you could let us sign up just for numbers so we know what sort of food levels are needed. And the final notice... there we go, we're up and... Oh, I'll go back. It's an evening with Gavin Calver, who's the Chief Executive of the Evangelical Alliance, and he's going to be with us on Wednesday, the 30th of March, which is part of the annual Ignite series, where Christians community across Malvern get together to encourage one another. And Gavin is going to come and talk to us, and that's going to be in the Great Malvern Priory. Free entry, so do just come and join us with that. Now, the greatest and most wonderful of all notices this morning, though, is the banns of marriage that I have the privilege of reading for James and Louise. And James and Louise are with us this morning. Would you just give us a wave? I don't want to embarrass you, but just want to welcome you. And it is a complete joy to have you with us and to read these banns of marriage for the third time. So I published the banns of marriage between James Alexander Charles Toghill of this parish and also Louise Helen Gould of this parish. This is for the third time of asking. If anyone knows any reason why they may not be married, you are to declare it now. Wonderful. Let us pray for you. Lord, the source of all true love, we pray for James and Louise. Grant them joy of heart, serious of mind, and reverence of spirit as they enter into the oneness of marriage, that they may be strengthened and guided by you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray that this time of engagement and preparation will be a time of joy and of celebration and seriousness as they realize their commitment to each other in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. So, Scripture, there is a call to come. Either God or Jesus is declaring and speaks of coming to us, coming to the world. Or in Scripture, God and Jesus invite us to come to him. In both contexts, there is a movement, there's an act of our will to actually respond to that invitation to come. And we actually have to make a choice. And the fact that you are all here today means that you've responded to his invitation to come. And so I want to encourage you to step deeper into that response as we worship today. Psalm 5, verse 7 says, I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down towards your holy temple. Another translation has, because of your great mercy, I will come into your house. You've come into God's house. And the first thing I want to say is well done for being here this morning. But my invitation is to come deeper into that relationship and into that love. As God, through his Spirit, comes closer to you in our worship this morning. So can I invite you to stand? And I pray that we, by his great love, will come into his house. In reverence, we can bow down and welcome him. Let us sing our first song, All My Days I Will Sing. Heavenly Father, you reign over all, and we welcome you. this morning, to reign over our lives, to reign over the shocking and devastating situations that are going on in our world. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets.'" Amen. Have mercy. And let us say together, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please take a seat. And because Dave is trying to be in all places at all times today, and is teaching in all the services, we're going to have our reading now, and then Dave's going to come up and teach before heading down to St Andrew's. Patience.
The reading is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, starting at the 30th verse. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed in the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and were afraid to ask him about it. When they came to Capernaum, when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied round his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Is anyone there? as this sermon was entitled Welcome to the War, I thought it was only appropriate that I come with my own war wound. And just to make sure you're not spending 20 minutes being distracted and wondering what I've done to my neck, I did manage somehow to burst a vein on Friday. And after a little bit of an adventurous time in our fantastic Malvern minor injuries unit on Friday afternoon, I am fit and well again. But as the Archdeacon, the Rural Dean did text me on Friday, he said, now we can call you Buster Blood Vessel, if you are young or old enough to know who that's referring to. Anyway, let's pray, shall we? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and meet us here. Come and help us wonder at your cross once more and transform us to live our lives differently for you because of it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't you know there's a war on? Well, yes, of course we do. And it breaks our heart. And it's dominated our thoughts for the last few weeks, hasn't it? But I want to think for a moment about what this phrase that was bandied about, I presume, in the First and Second World Wars is really about. Don't you know there's a war on? I tried to find a Dad's Army clip of Captain Mannering saying it. You can just imagine, can't you? Don't you know there's a war on, stupid boy? But I couldn't, so you'll just have to imagine it. You know, this phrase is said to imply that someone isn't behaving as you would expect them to behave in wartime. Why are you doing that? Don't you know there's a war on? Because as we've all too well seen lately, the war changes people's behaviours. It changes our behaviours and our actions. You know, we just have to watch the desperate scenes of fleeing refugees from the bombed cities in Ukraine, or the families huddled in underground subways, desperately trying to find safety and look after each other. It changes too our priorities, what we value as important. You know, in wartime, as we've seen in Ukraine, things like work and leisure, watching your favourite movie on Netflix, petty squabbles and having the latest iPhone suddenly don't matter anymore. And instead, family and peace become the number one priority above all else. War changes our perspective, our priorities, and our behaviour. And so it's interesting that in the passage that we've got today, that the title is Welcome to the War. Little did we know when we put this series together before Christmas how pertinent that title would be today. And that title is particularly taken from Tom Wright's commentary on Mark's Gospel, in which he says this. He says, there's a war on. Because in Jesus' coming, and particularly as he got nearer and nearer Calvary, God's kingdom was breaking in and taking ground, defeating the forces of evil. We've watched lately the Russians gradually advancing on Kyiv, and thankfully, you know, it seems that their advance has stalled, doesn't it? But we've experienced ourselves that the tension and anxiety building up as that happens for several days. You know, last week I kept going to bed at night thinking, will Kyiv have been invaded when I wake up in the morning? And in a similar vein here, you know, Jesus, as Peter described last week, is advancing on Jerusalem. Each chapter he's getting closer and closer to the city, that place of his destiny, where he'll finally face the battle that all of his life he was sent to fight. There's a war on. There's a battle looming. But it's not a physical war of this world. It's a clash of the spiritual kingdoms that's about to occur. You know, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of light meeting the kingdom of evil and the kingdom of darkness. And in a few chapters' time in Mark's Gospel, it's about to reach its climactic battle at Calvary. That event which changes everything that we too will remember in a few weeks' time at Easter. But what we see as we read these verses, and if you've got a Bible, do turn to Mark chapter 9. What we see is that the disciples don't get it. In verse 31, Jesus says to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed, killed, and after 3 days rise again. And then we hear this very sad phrase in verse 32, but they did not understand, and they were afraid to ask him about it. The disciples didn't get it. They didn't get it because they were looking for an earthly king who would fight an earthly battle with the authorities, the Romans, a battle that would be won by a victorious leader, they hoped. And yet the method that God chose to defeat evil was far from that. It was, in fact, the complete opposite. A servant king, God himself coming as a person, fully human and fully God at the same time, to be stripped of power, coming to be humiliated, then killed on a wooden cross on a hillside outside of Jerusalem. I'm sure we've been admiring the leadership of this man, President Zelensky, over these last few weeks, haven't we? You know, his courage, his love for his people and his country, his willingness not to run away, but to be with his people out on the front line, on the streets, not cowering in a bunker, has just been remarkable. And he's given his people, by doing that, such inspiration and courage, hasn't he, by his actions, that they've followed his example. They've given their all. They've risked their own lives to follow him and to fight for their country. And sometimes I think that is what many, many people in this world can do with Jesus. They can think that actually Jesus is just about being an inspirational leader, a really good man, a great leader and teacher who inspires us to live a good life. And he does. But if you think that's all Jesus is, then please hear this. He is so, so, so much more than that. You see, if President Zelensky gets killed in action, and we desperately pray he doesn't, then that's all he will be. His death might inspire more to follow more fervently, but his death would not in itself bring victory in the war. But Jesus, this is the truth about Jesus, that his death wasn't just an example, an inspiration, but it was the very thing that brought victory over death, over evil. Jesus' innocent blood being shed was what his coming was all about. It was his number one purpose, because through the shedding of his blood, the Bible tells us death for all of us was defeated. Through the shedding of his blood, all of us can find forgiveness, whatever our past, whatever we've done. Our shame can be taken away. Through the shedding of his blood, all of us can become friends with God again if we so desire and choose, for all of eternity. Have you got that? And like the disciples at the time, do you understand that? Not just in your head, but in your hearts too. It was 1987 in Limpsfield School Chapel when I was 15 years old, taking communion for the first time on a cipher camp, that I really first understood it. I'd been a Christian, I'd been going to church, I'd said the prayer when I was 5 and then when I was 11 and then when I was 13 probably. But it was that moment that I really understood it. I had an encounter with God's love and I realised that actually if I was the only person on this world, that Jesus would have died for me. That's how much he loved me. And ever since that moment, I've been changed. I've been committed to following Jesus wholeheartedly. I haven't always got it right. A lot of the time I haven't got it right. But that moment, that understanding of what the cross meant, changed me. Just want to say to anyone here, if you don't know what the cross is all about, maybe actually if, like the disciples, you were afraid to ask, then, you know, after Easter, we're going to put together something called the Start Course, which is a really easy, relaxed, friendly way of exploring some of the big questions of life. I've got some, we've got some flyers being printed, but I've printed off a draft of those, and there's a couple on the back you can take away with more details of how to connect up with that. If that's you, then pick one of those up. Come and explore with us. We'd love to journey with you more. But before I move on now, I just want to pause. And I'm going to play When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And I want to just give us all an opportunity to, for God to reveal what that's all about even more deeply to us. And maybe for some, like me in 1987, this might even be the moment where it all clicks into place and becomes true to an extent that it's never become before.
When I
Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You know, when we really get what Jesus has done for us, when we really get the pain and the suffering that he endured for us, then I think the only way to respond is to live for him, to follow him and give our all to him. And yet how many of us fail him? How many of us are so far from offering him our life, our soul, our all? And we're not alone, for those first confused disciples were much like us, and they did the same. And this is what we see Jesus imploring them to do in these next few verses, which we're going to go through in just fairly quickly. But you see, what he goes on to say next is that kingdom battles demand kingdom behaviour. Why are you acting like that? Don't you know there's a war on? Jesus is in effect saying to his disciples here. And maybe that too is what he says to us much of the time. Why are you acting like that? Don't you know there's a war on? Don't you know you're in a kingdom battle, a spiritual battle, and a kingdom battle demands kingdom behaviour? So very quickly, we're going to look at four areas where Jesus calls for kingdom behaviour in this war of the kingdoms. And the first one is, don't squabble over status, but seek to serve, verses 33 to 35. See, the next thing that we hear happened when the disciples were on the road to Capernaum, their next destination, was they argued over who was the greatest. How often can we fall into that trap of squabbling over status, trying to get ourselves into important positions so we can lord it over others, to get more power and influence than others, to get to the position where we can bend the boss's ear or even bend the vicar's ear, and where people can look up to us. And yet that's not kingdom behaviour, is it? It's not the behaviour of Jesus, who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, Philippians 2 tells us, but who made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And how he modelled it at the Last Supper, at that very moment when the battle was intensifying to its very climax, where Jesus had every right to want others to serve him, But we're told he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist and began to wash his disciples' feet. And what was it that enabled him to do that? Well, the start of the verse tells us he knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, it says. You see, Jesus knew his status and identity in God. That was what Peter talked about last week at the Transfiguration. And because he knows his identity in God, he could go low and serve. And this is what God calls us to do too. You know, I love the people that God keeps bringing to us here at St. Andrew's and All Saints. And I love it particularly because he keeps bringing us people who know their identity in God's, who are not seeking status, even though they're often coming from just high influential roles in other churches. But they're simply coming to me and saying, I just want to serve wherever it's needed. Tell me where I can help. And I find that really moving. And I find that really humbling. And that's living this stuff out. Thank you to all of you who do this, whether you've been here a year or 50 years. You know, that's kingdom behaviour in the midst of kingdom battles. Don't squabble over status, but seek to serve. Secondly, don't just welcome the important, but welcome the least, verses 36 to 37. And we read, taking the least important people in the eyes of the crowd around him, the children, Jesus says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. In wartime, as we've seen this last month, the most vulnerable and the least are even more important to care for and look after. Who are the least in our communities, in the world at this time? Who do we know who's needing a welcome? And when we welcome them here, we're told we welcome Jesus himself. I'm so encouraged that several households in our churches have already offered accommodation to Ukrainian refugees. And I know Richard and Sylvia are off to Calais soon. And Debbie and Barry here are taking on the logistics of just working out how we get Ukrainian refugees into people's houses and into a group here in Malvern, and do speak to them if you're interested in helping, or Richard and Sylvia here too. But it's not just about refugees, is it? It might be about stopping to listen to the aging next door neighbour, or helping out the mum struggling to balance her job and look after her children, or inviting someone new to church to lunch after church, rather than just inviting our friends and the people we got on best with and who are easy company. You know, whenever we welcome one of these in Jesus' name, we welcome Jesus. I just invite you to stop and pause for a moment and reflect with God. Is there anyone God's particularly calling you to welcome at this time? And thirdly, don't battle with others, but have unity with others, verses 38 to 41. You see, next we see the disciples seeking to stop someone who was not part of their group, who was driving out demons in the name of Jesus. And Jesus tells them not to stop them, for whoever is not against us is for us, Jesus says. It's easy to think sometimes that we've got all the answers, isn't it? That our group is doing things the right way. The way we worship, the way we live out our faith, the particular specific bits of secondary theology we might believe. And we can find ourselves sometimes excluding others, or even fighting against them, or battling for church to be done our way, the way we like it. But the kingdom way, the way of Jesus, is to seek unity, to fight the common enemy together, not to fight each other. I was really struck by something that Terry English, our mission partner out in Czech Republic working with Ukrainian refugees, said in the interview we did with him last week during the 24-hour prayer. He said this at one point. He said, the Polish church dealing with all the refugees is saying it's hard, but it has transformed our church. We are now the church we always wanted to be. We don't have time to argue about theological things anymore. We are just being the hands and feet of Jesus. Where do we have petty squabbles and battles with each other over our own personal preferences? Over the type of songs we sing, over the way we choose to worship, over secondary theological issues? Where do we battle to have the church the way we want it, the way we get most out of it? And I think that's an important question for us to ask us in this time of transition that we're in, particularly All Saints, where we've gone from two services to one. You know, Jesus wants us to be united, to lay aside our own preferences for the good of the whole, for the good of his kingdom, for the good of those out there in our communities who we're not yet reaching with the good news of Jesus. What difference would it make to lay all that aside, our differences, and simply focus on being the hands and feet of Jesus? Jesus said, whoever is not against us is for us. And finally, don't be distracted by desires, but cut off what gets in the way, verses 42 to 48. And we get these dramatic verses. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. The pictures of cut off hands and feet were a bit too gory to put up on the screen. So I put turning down a cake instead. But I think when the commentators look at this, they all agree just about that these verses are not meant to be taken absolutely literally, you'll be pleased to hear. But Jesus is making a really significant statement. And in effect, he's saying that if stuff that we're doing is getting in the way of following Jesus wholeheartedly or is leading us down the wrong path, then throw it off, cut it off, get rid of it. Even if it in itself is not necessarily wrong. You see, a hand is good, a foot is good. Our work might be good. But if it's dominating every minute and getting in the way of Jesus' call on our life, cut back, do something different. Our houses are a great blessing from God, but if we're so obsessed with our home improvements to make the catalogue perfect dwelling, then cut it out if it's distracting us from Jesus. Our hobbies might be great, but if we're so obsessed with them and prioritize them over our walk with God and his call on our life, then take drastic action. Our social media is great in keeping us connected to friends, but if it's causing you to waste a whole load of time or causing you to stumble and leading us to spend hours looking at unhealthy material, then close down the Facebook account. Give it a rest for Lent. Put a timer on your phone. Throw off whatever gets in the way. Just pause again. We're nearly there. What might Jesus be saying to you is getting in the way of following him wholeheartedly at the moment? Just pause and listen and allow him to prompt you, prompt me in our hearts. Don't you know there's a war on? The spiritual war, I mean. The kingdom war. Because there is. But here's one more bit of good news as I end that I want to just finish with. And that's this. That unlike the war in Ukraine, where we don't know what's going to happen in these next few months and maybe even years, the spiritual war, we know the results. We know how it will end. And if you're a follower of Jesus, even though things may not be for now just how you want them to be, the news is we're on the winning side. That one day everything will all be put right. So we don't fight the battle without hope. In fact, we fight the battle having the greatest hope of all to hold on to who. So let us hear Jesus' call to join his side wholeheartedly. Let's hear his call to kingdom behaviour in this kingdom battle. And let's offer him our soul, our life, and our all. Amen.
Let's just have some time of silence and allow whatever the Spirit wants to stir in you in response to what Dave has shared, particularly thinking about how we might serve one another, how we might welcome, thinking about where our hearts are in terms of unity and where might we be being distracted. Allow the Lord to speak to each of us. Can I invite you to stand? We as believers have many powerful weapons to fight and be a part of the war that is won, but the war still rages even though it is won. And one of them is the declaration of truth. So let us, with confidence and assuredness of the victory, declare what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus everlasting. Amen. Joanne's going to come up and lead us in our intercessions. But again, I want to remind us and encourage us that not to be discouraged at this time. Sometimes we can sit and think, are my prayers making any difference? And the answer is they are. Our prayers are a powerful weapon. And James, we might remind ourselves, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We've done that. And then it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Please, in these times, do not be discouraged. Never doubt the effectiveness of our prayers as we lift them up and as we watch the world's, the challenges of the world at this time. So let us pray.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning to pray for your world. We've already heard from Dave and in the news that we watch each morning what's going on in the Ukraine. But that is only one part of the world where there is suffering. So, Lord, today we do lift to you the people of the Ukraine, those that are fleeing, those that are still there, those that are fleeing and have left loved ones behind to fight, those that are fighting, those that are scared, the children that have seen horror in their lives. So we lift all these situations to you, Jesus. But we also remember that things like this are happening in other parts of the world, in the Yemen, in Afghanistan, and other places that we often don't hear about. But you know what's happening, Lord Jesus, and we ask for you to just minister to all those hurting today. We pray, Lord, for the governments of the world with all the decisions that they have to make regarding climate change, regarding refugees, regarding whether or not to put up our state pension. So we ask, Lord, that you will just give them wisdom to do the things that are right for the people of the different countries. We pray for our young people, Lord, especially those that have missed school this past 2 years due to the pandemic. We pray for organisations like CAMHS and pray that the money will be found to give more staff to help the generation that have missed out on so much. We pray for those preparing to take their SATS exams and GCSE exams. Give them peace, Lord. Give their parents peace in the household so that everything can be the least stressful as possible. And Lord, where we've asked for so many things where people are hurting, we also give you thanks for this beautiful world. There is a lot of hurting going in, and yet there is beauty. Beauty in the sky. Beauty in the beautiful moon that we've experienced the last few nights. And we ask, Lord, that you'll make us all more wary of how precious and vulnerable the world is, and how we need to take care of it. And Lord, we just pray now for our 2 APCM meetings that are taking place in the next 2 weeks. Make us open to the way you're moving us forward, so that your kingdom can come here at our churches. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We close our prayers by saying the prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. We're going to sing our next song and declare God's majesty and his holiness. So let us stand and sing Majesty, Worship His Majesty.
Thank you.
Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Thank you. Let us show a sign of peace to one another. Please take a seat. Did you know that there is a war on? Well, we're about to come to the victory feast and share in the victory feast. And that's what I want to encourage you as we share in the bread and the wine, this culmination of knowing the victory over death, that Jesus overcame the cross. And we're going to share the bread and the wine by, if you're comfortable, coming up to the rail. If you want to stay where you are, then I will come to you. But otherwise, we will share the bread and the wine at the rail. But on the side as you come up, there is a table with an array of crucifixes and crosses. And just, there's an invitation to... take hold of one of those. You could either do it and come up to the victory table, or you can collect one on the way back. And as we serve one another and you hold a cross, then there'll be something that you can meditate and dwell on what the cross means for you today and what Christ achieved through the cross. So that's why those crosses are there. As I say, you might like to grab one to come up and share in the bread and wine, or take one as you return to your seat and then use it as an object of reflection as we share the meal together. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is our living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. To you be glory and praise forever. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. To you be glory and praise forever. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people of your own possession. To you be glory and praise forever. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night that was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. To you be glory and praise forever. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." To you be glory and praise forever. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise, as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty. Renew us by your spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. To you be glory and praise forever. Through him and with him and in him and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. So let us pray with confidence as our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and thanksgiving. Patience, would you come up and help me? Thank you. Just before you do that. Let us say together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out to the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Let us stand and sing our final song, Go Forth and Tell. Thank you for your generosity. You are the great provider. Everything we have is yours, Lord, and comes from you. So thank you for these gifts, Lord Jesus, and may they go out to be fruitful for your kingdom work. Amen. So may God give to you and all those you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Bless you. We have tea and coffee. Please join us for that. Otherwise, have a wonderful week. And the crosses that you may have picked up, almost all of them are deeply, deeply precious. And please, could you return them? The ones that are less so, obviously, the palm crosses, which, of course, you can take away. But if it's not a palm cross, would you please return it to the table at the front? Bless you.